Grandparents Day. And so we are thankful for grandparents. And we're thankful for the godly influence that grandparents have on our lives. But in remembering grandparents, we remember parents. And so in our continued study of the Ten Commandments, we make our way to the fifth commandment, which is to honor your father and your mother. So I've entitled the message today, Honoring Your Parents. Honoring Your Parents. We're in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12. If you'd like to, that's found on page 72 of the Pew Bible. But the text is about honoring your parents, or honor your parents. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12 says this, Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Fathers, we study your word this morning. As we look into it, and we just pray your blessing, that Lord, you would guide me in the words that I should say. I pray that Christ would be magnified, that you, dear God, would be exalted. And I pray that you would be central in the text, that you would be central in our lives. And I just pray for supernatural power as I speak, Lord, that I would not speak amiss. And I ask, Lord, for a receptive heart for what you want to do in me and through me and in the hearts of your people as your word is declared and as they submit to the truth of your word and your transforming power of your spirit to conform us into the image of Christ Jesus. And we just pray your blessing upon the services today. Hide me behind the cross that you would be up foremost. Be magnified, dear God, we pray, and help us to honor our parents. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. The fifth commandment marks the beginning of the second half of the Ten Commandments. The first four are vertical in nature, and they are all concerned with, in one way or another, the necessity of honoring God as the primary means of keeping the covenant. The final commandments, 5 through 10, are horizontal. So you have vertical commandments, us and God, the first four, and the final six commandments deal with, are horizontal in scope, and it begins with the necessity of honoring one's parents. It's the place of the home, and in particular, the role of parents is central in representing God and teaching the ways of God to their children. So you have vertical commandments, horizontal commandments. So God told parents in Deuteronomy 6:6-8, and we read it together earlier, The Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. The home is the place where love for God and love for one's neighbor is to be taught and it is to be modeled. Beloved, just as the first commandment is foundational to the first four commandments, to honoring God with our whole heart, in the same fashion, the fifth commandment is foundational for the next five commandments, to loving your neighbor as yourself. And then Jesus said, on this hangs all the law and the prophets, the whole entire scriptures. You know, we might not think of it this way, but honoring your father and mother is the foundation upon which love for our neighbor is built. Friends, the parental relationship is the first and most foundational relationship in life. It gives shape to every other relationship. While there are exceptions, but generally speaking, folks, when you come across a kind, compassionate, hardworking, and responsible person, you owe a great debt of gratitude to that person's parents. Yes, good parents can have bad kids, and bad parents can have good kids. But more often than not, there's a direct link between good parenting and well-behaved children and well-behaved adults. That's the way that God has established and designed things to be. It's from this foundational relationship that all other relationships and life in general is experienced and, I would submit, blessed. From it, or from parenting, we learn the necessity of submitting to authority, of listening to people, of living with other people, of valuing life, of treasuring sacrifice, as well as doing and enduring things that we disdain. Moreover, we learn the vital nature of someone having a say over us and trusting that they know what is best for us. The family is where we learn respect, where we learn compassion and obedience, and hopefully, if it's a good home, about the beauty of love and protection. And I think it's worth pointing out that it's no wonder that one of the first actions of totalitarian regimes down throughout history is exerting control over people by making allegiance to the state and its ideas the building block of society and not the family. They intentionally sever familial loyalty and affection and make conformity to the state governing ideologies the greatest virtue. Folks, the power of the state and the power of the family are often irreversibly related. As one goes up, the other goes down. And I'm not going to labor that point. I just want you to understand that keeping the fifth commandment is far more than children clean your room because your parents told you to. The reality is civilizations and societies crumble or flourish due in large part to the social order, trust, and respect that is consistently taught and, Lord willing, graciously modeled in the incubator of the home by parents. Friends, it is not a stretch to say that loving your neighbor begins with listening to your parents. And as we consider the matter of honoring your father and mother, we must understand that it is a serious commandment. And it's not just a serious commandment for kids. The temptation is to check out right now and just say, why aren't the kids from junior church up here? But I think the argument goes much deeper. And the concern of God goes much deeper than just adolescents doing what your parents tell you. The concern is that God's concern is that you as adults, that you don't neglect your parents. And so that they live destitute. Because what is seems to be clear throughout the pages of Scripture is that God has an affectionate concern for the poor and the impoverished, the widow, and for orphans, for those who have no resources. And typically as people age, they might not lack material resources, but they lack, sometimes that happens, but also it's resources of family, affection, regular care. And God is interested that you, in whatever way possible, that you care for parents, and that care spills over into people within the church that function as your mother, as your father, as your siblings in the faith. So we must understand that this is a serious commandment. The vital nature of the parent's supportive, sacrificial, and instructive role requires that it's revered. Just listen to what Moses tells the nation later in Deuteronomy 21. If someone has a stubborn and rebellious son who does not obey his father and mother and will not listen to them when they discipline him, his father and mother shall take hold of him and bring him to the elders at the gate of his city, at the gate of his town. They shall say to the elders, "This son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey us. He is a glutton and a drunkard." Then all the men of his town are to stone him to death. You must purge the evil from among you. All Israel will hear of it and be afraid. That's Deuteronomy 21, 18 through 21. And the intention of this command was to generate fear. And I'm sure it did. God was serious about preserving righteousness, familial health, and societal structure. And that starts in the home with honoring parents. To be sure, we live in the New Testament economy of salvation in which I would contend that all the civic structures and infractions have now been now transposed into the church order regarding membership and discipline. Nevertheless, the serious nature of rebellion and irreverence toward one parents remains. God is still concerned with children who have no regard for their parents. No matter your age, whether you're 8 or whether you're 58, God is concerned with humble hearts towards and reverent hearts towards parents. You know, I think as a side note, these passages give us a better sense of how scandalous and I would say remarkable the story of the prodigal son is, does it not? Here you have a son that ran away, consumed himself with what? Gluttony and drunkenness. Yet at the moment when the father should have presented him before the elders to be stoned, what does he do as he is entering the city gates? He runs to him and he throws himself upon him. He runs to protect him from the stones that were rightfully due his son. And immediately he restores this repentant son to sonship, reinstating all the rights and the privileges of familial love and affection. Beloved, this parable reminds us that there is good news for wayward children. And that good news is found in the place of repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, making things right in the home. With this said, continual disrespect and disobedience toward one's parents, was a serious offense, so much so that it was deserving of death. The passage that I just read along with Exodus 21, that same truth is reiterated in Exodus 21, Leviticus 20, Proverbs 20, Proverbs 30. What do you continually find throughout the book of Proverbs? Son, if you will listen to my words, let the words of my mouth and the teachings of your mother be a garland around your neck. And he's not just referring to 10-year-olds. He's talking about adults. All these passages emphasize the same serious judgment that rests upon those who are rebellious and stubborn toward parents. Folks, rebellion toward one's parents isn't a trite sin because it seeks to undermine God's design for the personal good of man, the propagation of divine truth, and the wellness of society through justice and compassion. While commenting on these very verses and the serious nature of dishonoring one's parents, the theologian John Calvin wrote, "Nature itself ought in a way to teach us this. Those who abusively or stubbornly violate parental authority are monsters and not men." He goes on to add that those who refuse to acknowledge the efforts of those who brought them into the world and nurtured them to the very point of their present rebellion are not worthy of the benefits of life. Friends, dishonoring your parents, no matter your age, is not normal kid stuff. Rather, it's a cancer that kills grace and denies mercy as well as divine wisdom and providence. You must learn to kill animosity toward your parents. Learn to kill it inside before it kills you. What I want to do this morning is answer three basic questions: the what, the why, and the how of honoring our parents. So what does it mean to honor our parents? Why should we honor our parents? And how can we practically honor our parents? So let's look at this first question. What does it mean to honor our parents? God says in Exodus 20, verse 12, honor your father and your mother. It's been rightly suggested that honor is composed of three parts: reverence, obedience, and gratitude. Reverence is respect, and the reverence that we are to demonstrate toward our parents is not connected to the fact that they are always deserving of it in and of themselves. Every parent here is aware of your inadequacies and your shortcomings in the home. Every one of us, I know I am. You know, there's times when I shock myself with my impatience and my selfishness, and I'm sure that's true of you. With this said, it's not because parents are necessarily worthy or deserving that we are to honor them, but it's because of the position of authority that God has granted to them. The word translated honor is the Hebrew word kabod. It's the Old Testament word for glory, and it infers something that's weighty or heavy. From God's perspective, to be a parent is a weighty thing, an honorable responsibility. The title of father and mother is an office that God instituted, and he has imbued it with great significance. As I pointed out just a moment ago, honor also entails obedience. Obedience means that we are to do what our parents say while we are a part of their home. And I would contend that even after we leave the home, we should make an effort to do their wishes whenever it's appropriate. The word obedience implies that parents are giving commands and giving instructions. It's not just barking orders. It's training, it's modeling, it's helping, it's teaching. Parents are not to leave their children to figure out God and the things of life to figure it out on their own. That's why God has created parents. He's created the home. God commands parents to train, to teach, to model, to order, to instruct, and he expects his children to obey. He expects their children to obey them. Beloved, parents are to be the primary teachers and examples in society. To be sure, parents are not their only teachers or examples, but parents are the responsible ones before God. Parents, no matter how you choose to educate your children, whether it's homeschool, public school, Christian education, and I think this infers the church too, that your children need much more spiritual education than 1 hour or 2 hours if they come to Sunday school a week. They need regular training and instruction in the Word. You are the one who is responsible before God to ensure that they are regularly learning the truth of God and living it out so that they can grow in knowledge and love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Beloved, truth and godliness is bolstered in the home, and more is caught than taught. They have to be told and modeled how to love Christ and how to live for Christ in the home. They need to see it demonstrated on a practical level. It's not merely enough, and we need to move away from this. At times it's appropriate when your children ask you why about something, because I said so. At times that's a proper response. But you have to train them while you're giving them certain instructions. It's about training, teaching, and modeling. They all need to be a part of the home. The final element in honoring is that of gratitude. Gratitude is one of the chief ways that children can honor their parents. The life of a parent is one of constant sacrifice. You know this to be true. You know, we don't recognize this when we're kids, but parenting requires lots of self-denial. To be sure, parenting is joyful, parenting is rewarding, but parenting is hard work. It is a continual sacrifice of money, time, energy, ambition, sleep, and often tears. Young people, I see like two in here right now. I think it's important that you know that I see Caleb and Thane, there might be somebody else, is there another young person in here? But I think that what's important is this, that as parents, we really want to please you. We want to bring joy to you. We love to make you happy. We delight in doing nice things for you, making you happy. We gladly welcome the sacrifice that is necessary to aid in your learning, in your provision and joy. We simply ask that you don't instantly forget it. How many of you have ever been in the situation with your children where you're in the process of doing something that's sacrificial to make them happy, and then they find something to complain about in the midst of what you're trying to do? You know, I had heard some parents, even in our own church, and a comedian talk about how they're in Disney World and their children are finding something to complain about. You know, children just don't get it. And they easily forget the good things that you're trying to do to help them and make them happy. And I think for young people, but also as adults, that we need to ask God for a heart that remembers and recognizes the sacrifice of our parents that they have made or that they are making for us. A small addendum before moving on to our next points. It's important to note that there is a limit to honoring one's parents. Acts chapter 5 and verse 29 sets forth a principle regarding submission to human government. But it's a principle that holds true for every level of human authority, including the home, that being parents, even church leadership. The principle is this: we must obey God rather than men. If we are cornered between obeying God or obeying men, we must always obey God. If parents or any other human authority commands that you do what God forbids or forbids what God commands, we must follow God rather than men. In conjunction with this, when parents create and maintain a sinful, hostile, even toxic or controlling relationship in the home, there's an appropriate way to honor them and yet not concede to their selfish or sinful demands. It's not by running them down, reciprocating the same sinful behavior of your parents, or by abandoning the parental relationship. Rather, it's by implementing boundaries, parameters that seek to maintain healthy contact when appropriate, and a gracious willingness to serve them when it is appropriate. With that said, I recognize at times, because of patterns of egregious sin, all communication and assistance must be severed. These are rare, but they're real. Nevertheless, in these situations, you can honor the position of your parents by choosing few words and choice words when you speak to them or speak about them. That's sometimes the only honor you can bestow. But we should honor them in that way, with choice words and few words, if that's the kind of relationship we have with our parents. And this takes us to our next point, the why. In Ephesians 6:1, Paul told the church in Ephesus that children are to obey their parents. How? In the Lord. Paul is linking, get this, our devotion to Christ to the honoring of our parents. A young person cannot claim to be right with the Lord if they maintain a spirit or an attitude of disobedience and disrespect to their parents. Sadly, I've noticed that there is a tendency for some young people, young Christians who are growing in the Lord, whose parents are either nominal or mature slower, to have a they have a propensity towards pride and condescension toward their parents. You know, they think they know everything that their parents never knew about God and life. And while they think, while it's true that children can be more mature and even mature faster in Christ than their parents, but true maturity never makes a child less respectful and less willing to honor them. True maturity in Christ leads to humility. It leads to patience and a heart that desires to submit and honor parental authority, not recoil from it. They lean into it. Beloved, our obedience and devotion to Christ should lead to joyful obedience and the honoring of our parents. The two go hand in hand. Moving on, in Colossians 3:20, we also read this verse together earlier. Children are told to obey their parents in everything, for this is right. It pleases the Lord. By implication, not listening or obeying your parents displeases the Lord. The will of God and the pleasure of God for children is to obey their parents. And Jesus, our Lord, modeled this for us. He was the perfect child, far more knowledgeable, far more mature than his parents. Nevertheless, the scripture tells us in Luke 2:51 that Jesus was submissive to his parents. There were no deep sighs. There were no excuses or half-hearted obedience. He simply obeyed. Now, our kids are not Jesus, and they're not going to be. Our Lord lived the perfect child and the perfect life because we could not. However, his obedience demonstrates the will of God and what honoring one's parents looks like. Beyond this, it illustrated what Scripture calls here the blessed life. The very promise of Exodus 20:12 and Ephesians 6:1, Paul reiterates it from Exodus 20 and verse 12, honor your father and mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. This command or promise has more to do with just long life. Some parents, and I know that I've probably used it this way before, but it can be wrongly understood that we just tell our children that if you obey, God will give you a long life. But if you disobey, you're going to die early. That's not technically what this verse is, not at all what this verse is implying. At that point, obedience then becomes a pawn to manipulate God to give me a longer life and to get what I want, and that's not what it's about. Beyond this, such a teaching implies, you know, the Old Testament saints were not dumb, nor were early Christians dumb. Such an implication is that if you're living a long life, you must be a really good person, you must have obeyed your parents. Well, we know a lot of wicked people that live long lives And we know younger people who live godly lives that have died young. The concept of living long in the land entailed more than just a chronology of years. The phrase had to do with abundance of years or an abundant life. It refers to a life that is full of joy, full of blessing, and full of provision. Whether it's a long life or a short life, it is a full life. Moses is saying that if you want to enjoy a full and favored life, then listen to your father and your mother. The point of the promise was not just for young children. It was that. But the promise and blessing extended to adults and the need for them to care for their parents. God didn't want grown children shrinking back from their responsibility to care for their parents when they could no longer care for themselves. This was Jesus' point when he scolded the Pharisees in Mark chapter 7. Do you remember this? Mark 7, Jesus said, "You have a fine way of rejecting the commandment of God in order to establish your tradition. For Moses said, 'Honor your father and your mother, and whoever reviles father or mother must surely die.'" He's alluding to the very passages that we've read. "But you say, 'If a man tells his father or his mother, whatever you have gained from me is Corban,'" that is, and the text tells us what that means, it's a phrase referring that it's given to God, it's already been dedicated to the temple, "then you no longer permit him to do anything for his father and mother, thus making void, empty, the word of God by your tradition." Your tradition of basically eroded scriptural truth. That's Mark 7, 9 through 13a. Folks, God's blessing, the abundant life of joy, peace, provision, and his favor rests upon children of all ages that honor their parents through direct obedience as young people and adults that then seek to care for their parents. This is why we honor our parents, because it demonstrates our faith in God and his word and ensures his truest blessings. Beloved, God's presence, his power, his promises, and his provisions, moreover, our growth in him through Christ, as well as our ability to know him and enjoy God, is directly linked to honoring our parents. And this takes us to our final point, the how. So we've seen the what, we've seen the why, now the how of honoring your parents. So how are we to keep this fifth commandment? What are some real down-to-earth, where the rubber meets the road, ways that we honor our father and mother, ways that we honor our parents? In its simplest form, as young children who live with their parents, Paul writes in Colossians 3:20, "Children, obey your parents in everything." God's will for young people is to do what their parents tell them. There's no if and or buts. Everything really means everything. They're God's direct authority over you. Your young people model their love and obedience to God through their love and obedience to their parents. And I think it's important to remember this. You will never listen to God if you've not first learned to listen to your parents. If young people feel that their parents' rules are out of touch, they're too restrictive, too direct, too authoritative, you will by default develop and cultivate a critical attitude of stubbornness and rebellion toward God and his rules or his word. Rest assured, believer, both young and old, a hard, unfulfilled, and empty life awaits those who scorn their parents. God is not a mocker. Whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. He that sows to the flesh shall of flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. A calloused, irreverent heart towards your parents results in God's displeasure, and should we choose to spurn it, his chastisement to redirect us through adversity in life. This doesn't mean parents have unmitigated authority, but it does mean that we are to show concern, respect, compassion, and favor toward them. To be sure, parents can overreach into adulthood. Parents can exasperate their adult children, causing issues in their child's personal lives, marriages, and extended families, and that's not right, nor should it be permitted. Nevertheless, as much as possible, parents should be honored with a grateful and reverent spirit. With this said, there are three simple things that children can say to regularly honor their father and mother. The first I just alluded to. As a youth, young people just simply say, "Yes, Mom, yes, Dad." prompt, sincere obedience honors the Lord and it honors your parents. When your parents give you direction, don't argue, don't complain, don't moan, don't sigh. Don't play let's make a deal. How many kids have ever tried that? You know, you give them a direction, well, I've got another idea. How about we work on this? No, it's just do what I've told you to do. It's not let's make a deal, it's time to obey. Young people, ask God for the wisdom, for wisdom, gratefulness, and love to promptly obey your parents with a right heart attitude. Obedience is doing what you're told, when you're told, and with a right attitude. Parents know, as parents, we know that you don't like to clean up somebody else's messes. You don't like to do the dishes. You don't like to take out the garbage. You don't like to stock the bathroom. But we simply want you to say yes with a heart's desire to say yes. Even if you don't want to, say yes with a desire to want to say yes. Obedience is often inconvenient, but you must learn it and embrace it early in life. Blessing comes to those who learn the grace of willful submission to authority at a young age. The second thing, no matter your age, to say to honor your parents is thank you. Thank you. I love it when my kids say thank you. It shows me that they are truly maturing and recognizing the greater realities of life. I recognize saying thank you can be hard for some of us because your parents were far less than ideal. Some of you had parents that abused you, ignored you, failed to demonstrate love to you, and may have even been instrumental in leading you into sinful habits and addictions. Yet we can be thankful for the things that they did right, even if they're very few, in the midst of their sin and failures. If you live with your mom and dad, or you still have them somewhere, it would be good to just give them a call to say thank you for all they sacrificed for you, taught you, provided for you, and modeled for you. Very few of us say thank you often enough to our parents. Perhaps your parents are no longer living. I would say it's wholly right, even as I'm speaking now, to pause and to pray and say thank you, God, for my parents. They weren't perfect, perhaps not even remotely close, but God, I thank you that they brought me into life, that they gave me life, and they did what they did, and I'm thankful for that. Beloved, saying thank you honors God, and it honors your parents. The final thing we can say to our parents is, I'm sorry. It's always appropriate to acknowledge our sins that may have caused or aided disunity and dysfunction in the home. It's always appropriate to say, I'm sorry. Now, don't feign your apology by saying, I'm sorry that people were offended. And don't minimize your role in sin by saying, I'm sorry, but what so-and-so did or said was far worse than what I did. Just simply say, I'm sorry I said or I did this and that to you or to the family. Or, I didn't know better at the time, but now I do, and I'm truly sorry for the past, for the part I played and the trouble I caused. Beloved, you never know what sort of healing that God can bring to you and your family, even a church family, when you acknowledge your sin and seek for the forgiveness of others. Christian, refuse to believe the lie that if you acknowledge your sins and failures, that others will think that they didn't do anything wrong or that somehow you will become a spiritual doormat. Refuse to believe those lies. Those are the lies that keep you from blessing and from freedom and forgiveness of sins or in acknowledging your sins. And don't think that somehow that people will think less of you if you acknowledge your part in sin. Don't do that. Embrace that. We are commanded by God to confess our sins, not only to Him, but to one another. Confess your faults one to another. Those fears keep us from the joy and healing of confession. You obey God in your need to confess sins to others, especially your parents, and leave the results up to God. Some of you don't have children, living parents, or a family to even associate with. You please God and you fulfill this command by loving the family of God and expressing these same graces, the same bestowing of honor to others in the body. Recognizing with fondness the investments that others have made like parents in your life. By thanking God for one another in the body. This should happen even if you have children, you have living parents, and you have close family. Beloved, the family of God should be our closest kin. Jesus said, "My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it." Luke 8:21. Beloved, there are a multitude of opportunities around us to follow these commandments of honor and giving honor to whom honor is due. Honor your parents and honor one another. We have a Heavenly Father to honor, and we have a church family to love and serve. Let's be faithful to give honor to whom honor is due. Let's pray together. Father, as we close this morning, we are thankful for grandparents. We are thankful for parents. And so, God, I pray that the teaching of what it means to honor our parents, Lord, would not fall upon deaf ears, but would fall upon hearts that are sensitive and see the need, no matter our age, if our parents are living, to honor them. And then we honor them in their death through thankfulness, ongoing thankfulness and gratitude. And I pray for parents today that, God, you would help us to continue to model, to train, to speak into in ways that are appropriate and meaningful to our children, that it would not stop when they leave the home, but that our love and that our loyalty and that our concern and that our mercy and that our compassion and our years of teaching, Lord, and our years of modeling would not be in the past, but they would continue into the present, into future generations. And I pray that, God, we would truly honor our parents and that we would honor you, our Heavenly Father, by continually giving our life to you, living with gratitude and reverence and obedience to you. And Lord, help us to be a people that love one another. And we treat older women as mothers, older men as fathers, younger men, younger women as sisters, as Paul instructs us. Oh God, I just pray that our family here at Bible Baptist Church would be a loving union. Oh God, I just pray that you would help us to do this. And loving our neighbor as ourselves begins with our parents. So help us to be faithful to do that. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Bob.